This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind the decisions we make every day and how to make better ones. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman. Join me as I share true stories from Nobel laureates, athletes, authors, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better decisions in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Hey, listeners, you may have noticed something a little different in your podcast player. In the spirit of New Year, New You, we decided to give ourselves a 2022 makeover. Instead of the old yellow legal pad, look for our new sky blue cover art with the paper airplane. Hopefully, it'll lift your spirits while we keep solving your problems.
You know, I do have some memories of maybe one crawling on my leg for a second and then jumping off.
Was it when you were little?
Yeah, I think it was in the shower, which was worse. Because
right.
I think it came out of the drain, crawled over my leg, and went back to the drain.
I'm Amanda Ripley. Welcome to Fear Factor. Just joking. This is still how to. There will be no jumping off of buildings or live burials or creepy crawly monsters, at least not until later. But we are going to help you face some of your more irrational fears today. For our listener Peter, the monster in his closet, so to speak, is a small but wily little demon that dates all the way back to the Jurassic period, about 200 million years ago. Yes, we're talking about the cockroach.
I know they can't really hurt me, but ever since I was a child, I was pretty scared of them, sort of paralyzed.
Peter is a chemist who lives in Israel, and every year, starting in April, cockroaches are suddenly everywhere, including occasionally in his apartment.
In your house, when they run away, it's not good because you don't know where they are.
They're still there, right?
Yeah. And then you open some sort of kitchen cabinet and he jumps at you. So,
Yeah. No, I hear you. If I see a rat when I'm walking through the streets of DC, that's one thing. But in my house, that's my castle. Do you know? Like I need to know that's safe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, I just moved in here. It was June or July, and one of my cats was staring at the window, and I had the window open with like a net, a mosquito net, and I saw that there was a cockroach basically sitting on the net. By the time I reached the window, the cockroach was gone, and 1 minute later I see the cat chasing something. And I immediately knew that it was inside the house.
So how were you feeling during this chase?
Pretty anxious, I guess. I felt, you know how you feel your pulse. I felt my pulse. And my girlfriend was in the apartment at the time. You know, I can't really hide my my fear or disgust of them, but I had to be like extra brave. So
you felt like you had to be the man and kill this
thing. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And then once you managed to capture the cockroach and dispose of it, were you nervous that there were more cockroaches in its wake?
Oh yeah, yeah, like shadows or like flickering lights in the corner of my eye. Yeah, definitely.
Peter is not alone. Humans have been disgusted by cockroaches since basically forever. The Egyptian Book of the Dead, written 3,000 years ago, includes a spell for banishing cockroaches. And it is no wonder, right? I mean, they're slimy, unpredictable, and relative to their size, one of the fastest land animals on Earth. But looking at it logically, it doesn't quite make sense to loathe cockroaches as much as we do. I mean, they aren't disease vectors like ticks or fleas, and they don't feed directly off of our blood. In fact, if we should be repulsed by any insect, it should definitely be the mosquito. And yet, roaches are way, way more disgusting.
I get the sense, because you are a scientist, that you like to, you know, think rationally through things. You think of yourself as a rational person. Is that part of why this kind of bugs you? No pun intended.
Yeah, it is part of it. It's also the helplessness. Like, I know I shouldn't be scared, but I can't help but being scared, so...
So the fear of the actual threat, the cockroach, and then there's also the sense of powerlessness over your reaction.
I mean, I'm always asking myself, what's the problem? Why can't I reach my hand and grab it? But I can't.
On today's show, we're confronting the fears that we know are silly on some level, but we just can't seem to get past. Peter is suffering from catsuridophobia, the fear of cockroaches. But there are a lot of other irrational fears out there. And so to help Peter, and really all of us, deal with our fear of bugs or needles or heights, we've brought in somebody who's been treating phobias like this for the last 30 years. It's a surprisingly fun conversation. Stay with us.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Our expert today is Dr. Elizabeth McMahon, a veteran clinical psychologist based in San Francisco.
Elizabeth, do you have any irrational fears?
Oh, goodness. I do a lot of public speaking and webinars and workshops, and I get scared before everyone. I mean, I got scared before this podcast today.
Aw, that's so nice.
And I've come to say to myself, well, it's because I'm doing something that I care about passionately that I think is important. And I call it vibrating mode. I've just gone into vibrating mode. If I said, oh my gosh, I've got to not be scared. I've got to not be scared. Oh, you just lost the war right there. Because if we controlled our amygdala, the treatment for any kind of fear, panic, or anxiety would be, well, don't be scared. And you'd be like, oh my gosh, you're right.
Right. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world?
It's like the perfect remedy is calm down.
Right, right. That's right. The last thing you ever want to say to someone who's upset.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love Elizabeth's idea about reframing anxiety as excitement, which seems totally doable for public speaking. But it's a little harder to imagine getting excited about confronting a cockroach.
You know, what Peter's describing is so common, and phobias often start in childhood, like Peter's described. You know, when Peter talks about this conflict between his rational side and yet, on the other hand, feeling like he can't help being scared. He gets scared and he feels helpless over, why can't I not be scared if I know rationally that they're not dangerous? And that's sort of the classic conflict, the classic dilemma with any kind of irrational fear. And I've come to describe what goes on in the brain as kind of like a fight between the lower level of our brain, primarily the amygdala. I tend to call it the reacting brain, which is primitive and has an automatic response to what it thinks might be dangerous. It's your protector. It's your bodyguard. It's devoted, but it's dumb.
Like a not so smart guard dog.
Yes, yes. So you get this immediate visceral physical emotional response from the reacting brain, and then kind of you got the rational thinking brain coming afterwards, sort of saying, well, now, well, wait, hold on a minute, let's just, but by that time the adrenaline's pumping through your body, your heart's going, you're flooded with disgust or fear. And the thing is, it's so automatic, it can misfire. And once it's accidentally learned or incorrectly learned that something's dangerous or more dangerous than it is, it doesn't forget. Because remember, it's your bodyguard.
So here's our first takeaway. Don't be ashamed of your guard dog. It's trying to protect you, even when it's wrong. Almost half of Americans have some fear of flying. 1 in 4 are afraid of public speaking. But as involuntary as these fears are, the evidence shows that people can actually get much better at responding to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right. The instinctive response is to act as if you're being threatened, as if you're in danger. Mm. Like Peter's talking about, hyper alert, hyper vigilant, looking for the cockroach, jumping at shadows.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
But what you want to do with any kind of fear is you want to have like a dialogue between these two parts of the brain. You want to basically say to the fearful part of your brain, what is scary about the cockroaches?
Ooh, let's ask this. Peter, what is scary about the cockroach? I like that question.
The first thing that kind of scares me or disgusts me is when I see the antenna.
So shady. Yeah.
Especially if I'm in the position where I see it before I see the cockroach. So that happened a few times. It's like the color, the dark brown color, the size, and especially the speed which they move, because they move quite fast. I don't know how it's like in the States, but over here, when they open up their wings and fly inside the apartment.
We have those in the South in the US, and they call them palmetto bugs, as if that makes it any better. They are flying cockroaches is what they are.
Yeah.
So there are lots of reasons to be freaked out by them. But to Elizabeth's point, we also know they're not actually a threat to us, especially compared to, say, a mosquito.
Exactly.
Precisely. My clients find it really, really helpful to ask very specific questions like, what am I really afraid of? Well, for example, if it reached me, what does my reacting brain say is going to happen? What is my reacting brain predicting, assuming? What do the facts say?
So you're trying to have your higher level functioning part of your brain talk to the lower level and hold up its assumptions to the light. Is that right?
Exactly. To articulate the fears, to really say, and if that happened, then what? It's having a great deal of curiosity, open, respectful curiosity about why the reacting brain is responding so intensely. So listening with curiosity, but not with credulity.
Oh, interesting distinction. I like that. So that's our next takeaway. We can start to disarm our fears by, ironically, leaning into them, assigning words and details to the feelings, which means inviting in curiosity without credulity. So ask yourself, what do I think might happen here? And then what? And then what? But let's be real, right? It's pretty hard to investigate your fears this way when you're convinced that a cockroach is about to jump on your face.
You want to have a tool to tolerate the nasty, miserable misfiring of the fear and panic response. And that could be low, slow breathing. It could be muscle relaxation. It could be mindful attention to the realities of the present, understanding that fears and feelings and thoughts come, but they also go. You don't necessarily have to believe them. Some technique where you can say, look, I may never like those cockroaches. I mean, I may always dislike them and be pretty disgusted, and I'm not going to change from being a chemist to an entomologist. You know, and my reaction doesn't necessarily have to determine what I do.
This reminds me of one of the most valuable mindfulness techniques I've learned, besides, you know, basic rhythmic breathing. It's called labeling. You just say to yourself, okay, that's a thought, or that's a feeling. It's funny because it sounds so ridiculous, but when I do it, I find that the thought does kind of fade into the background. It essentially puts a little space between you and the emotional reaction.
That's actually helpful because I would say that a second stage of the fear would be, oh, this is going to be just another reminder that I'm afraid of them and I don't want to be. And what Amanda just said about labeling that, and you said about saying that, okay, I will be scared probably, it will maybe misfire.
Have the courage to think about what scares you more and more specifically in more and more detail, because only then can you then compare to, is that really true? It's certainly terrifying.
Yeah.
But what scares us may or may not be true.
So to recap, in order to overcome a fear, we first need to tolerate the discomfort using those coping tools like breathing or labeling. Then we can try to interrogate the fear and get specific. Ask if the fear is as true as it feels. Then you can move on to step 3.
Which is the facts give your thinking brain the courage to go against your reacting brain. And I think of it as like overriding. You've got the fear pathway and you're trying to create an alternate neural pathway of, okay, I don't like it, but it's not dangerous. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's why it's safe to do this. I think of taking an attitude of what I describe as compassionate firmness. And the compassionate is, I know you're scared. I know this is hard. You've been scared for years. Of course it scares you. I understand. And you're trying to protect me. And look, you're sending a false alarm. This is causing way more problems than we need. Hear what the facts say. So we're going to act on the facts. I know you're scared. What we're going to do what the facts say. And that changes the narrative about everything. And every episode of anxiety or experience with a cockroach into what I call an AFOG. Another, we'll just translate that F as fabulous, opportunity for growth.
Yeah. Actually, I love the fact that you're talking about a conversation between the two parts of the brain, like you said, because I was under the impression that I should silence one part. And now I'm hearing that that, first of all, is pretty much impossible. And secondly, isn't worth doing.
Peter, you're absolutely right. That's absolutely a brilliant summary.
So you're feeling the fear, acknowledging
it,
tolerating it, and then going on stage anyway.
Yes. And meanwhile, also, before, during, and afterwards, reminding yourself about why you're doing it, why you're acting this way, and praising yourself. Because, you know, it takes courage to deal with fear. And you're doing this and remembering why you're doing this. You're making this changed action because you want your life to be better.
Coming up, we're going to actually create another fabulous opportunity for growth.
we'll stare directly into a cockroach's beady little eyes and put all of these techniques to the test. Well, actually, Peter's going to do all that, but we are going to watch. Don't chicken out now. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going, today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves, or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you rely on how-to, the best way to support this show is by joining Slate Plus, Slate's membership program. Signing up for Slate Plus helps us help all the people you hear on our podcast every week. It's only $1 for the first month, and members will never hear another ad on our podcast or any other Slate podcast. You'll also get free and total access to Slate's website. Plus, you'll be supporting our important work. So I hope you'll join if you can. Again, it's just $1 for your first month. To sign up now, go to slate.com/howtoplus. Again, that's slate.com/howtoplus. Thanks. We're back with Dr. Elizabeth McMahon and our listener, Peter, who's working through his fear of cockroaches. Elizabeth often uses virtual reality techniques to help her patients confront their fears in a safe environment. We don't have a VR headset for Peter right now, but we're going to ask him to look at a gruesome picture of a cockroach that our producer Derek found online. And Elizabeth is going to walk us through in real time what he should do.
So there's the link in the Zoom chat.
Yeah.
I'm going to click on it as well. So you're not alone. I hate these things. Ugh.
Oh my God.
Look at that creepy little bastard.
Yeah.
Ugh. He's got like, what are those, like, little spikes? I don't know what the technical term is on his legs.
Yeah, that's the first thing I saw, too. And also the little things at the end, the parts that are sticking out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is.
Right. Looks menacing.
Looks like
And the
homes.
Antenna. Let's not get started.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you hear the narrative that you guys are putting on this?
Yeah.
Words like menacing, creepy, horrible, right? Words program our brain. So really listening to the words you're using whenever you're dealing with any kind of fear, and then thinking, are there other words, or is there another way I could think about it? How would somebody who's not afraid of this, how would they describe it? What would they be thinking about it?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Peter, what would somebody who's not afraid of this be thinking right now, do you think?
I don't know. I guess something like, I know that one.
Right.
A such and such species.
Right. That's the American cockroach, the standard.
Yeah. It's probably a female. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I actually, right now, my cat moved behind me and I saw its shadow. And I was looking at the image simultaneously, so it's like, oh, no.
So you jumped, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you face a fear, there's some research that indicates that if you spend between 1 to 3 hours facing what you're afraid of, it has a big impact because in a sense, the adrenaline surge happens quickly, you know, the immediate emotional response. But as you stay there, particularly if you go over the facts and you think, well, an entomologist would say this was wonderful, you know, over time, after 60 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, you can almost get to the point where, like, bored. Cockroach. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you were asking me all this question to stall me in front of the picture.
So yeah. What are you? Are you busy for the next 3 hours? Now, Derek is sending more images. You don't have to. Don't feel like you have to click on that.
No, it's too late. It's too late.
Okay, this is the last one, Peter. Yeah. I promise. Can you tell us what do you see for the listeners?
So there's clearly a cockroach standing in a kitchen sink near the drain, and it immediately reminded me of the time I saw a small antenna sticking out of the drain, and I thought it was some hair that didn't wash away. And I almost grabbed it, and I saw that it like had that weird slow move, and immediately it clicked that it wasn't a hair.
So did you touch it?
And by that time it it quickly jumped out of the hole and into the sink. Luckily for me, it couldn't get out, so down the drain it went again.
Oh wow. Okay, I can feel myself being unhelpful. Elizabeth, what would be a better response?
Okay, so again, right, remember, fear can make you scared, but that doesn't mean it's justified. There's a great phrase in cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, don't believe everything you think.
Oh, that's nice.
I have this on my wall. True story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I should get it tattooed, maybe.
So remember, don't believe everything you think. And if you're not ready for exposure therapy or virtual reality, you can always just revisit an old memory in a new way.
This is something that many of my clients find very, very helpful, is going back over some scary memories and writing down first what happened, what they saw, what they felt, what they thought, the emotions, the senses, and then going back and saying, now, if I could go back with what I know now, with what I understand about getting over fear, with what I've learned about cockroaches actually being safe, what would I tell my younger self? Hmm. And like relive that memory, but now with a wiser self guiding you through.
What would you tell the younger Peter who had a cockroach crawling up his leg in the shower?
I would say carefully but firmly shake it off and exit the shower until it goes back into the drain.
And maybe, as you were saying earlier, Peter, you know, realizing all it did was it was a few seconds of like tickling on the foot and then it went back under the drain.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, I grew up in a home with a lot of anxiety about germs. For whatever reason, my mom was very anxious about germs, especially in the bathroom or the kitchen. And whenever we go to a hotel, it was like a big ordeal. That room had to be extra clean. We had to wash all the dishes again and that kind of thing. And then I had my son, and I remember vividly this time we went to the zoo in DC where we live, and he had to go to the bathroom, and he was really little, you know, he was like two. And so of course he's touching everything, and it's a public bathroom and it's packed with kids. And so it's triggering all my worst fears, right? And we're in the bathroom stall standing next to the toilet. He's touching everything, touching the toilet, and I'm freaking out. And I'm like, look, don't touch your hands to your face until we can wash them. And he looked right in my eyes and he licked one hand and then the other. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God. Because it was like a dare almost, you know. And then, you know what? He was fine.
And you know, that's the benefit of doing what you're afraid of.
Thank you to Peter for courageously talking about his fear with us and for putting up with Derek messaging you pictures of cockroaches. Don't worry, if we ever figure out his worst fear, we'll let you know so you can get revenge. And a big thank you to Dr. Elizabeth McMahon. The work she is doing with VR is fascinating and extremely timely. She's actually been using VR to help people get over their needle phobias in order to get their COVID vaccines. We'll link to her advice on managing a fear of needles in the show notes. Is there something bugging you? Send us a note at howto@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-495-4001. We'd love to have you on the show. And if you like what you heard today, please give us 5 stars in Apple or Spotify. It really does help us reach more people. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Rosemary Belson produces the show. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown, remixed by Merritt Jacob, our technical director. Special thanks to Amber Smith and to Derek Johnson, who designed our new How To artwork. Charles Duhigg created the show. I'm Amanda Ripley. Thanks for listening.